This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Go to GoDaddy.com for all of your domain and web hosting needs. Save 10% off by going to GoDaddy.com and entering the promo code BLU13. That's BLU13.
Did that giant just say he'll make you pay? For what?
I have no idea. I've never seen that guy before.
Well, he sure knows you.
No, it's not about me. He just thinks it is.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is a show where we...
We don't know what we're talking about. We're just talking.
Yeah, that was probably the worst lead-in I've ever had. We're a Once Upon a Time podcast.
Woo woo!
And we haven't had a regular episode like this in like 3 weeks because the show's been off the air.
Yeah, I was taking a break. There was a Super Bowl. There was a couple of awards shows that the actors had to be at. So,
but they didn't want to take one more week for the Grammys.
Well, none of the actors had to be at the Grammys, so they could still live tweet.
Their audience could still watch the show.
Exactly.
But if you guys didn't catch it, we weren't completely dark.
No,
the whole time.
We were probably more active than we were over the Christmas break.
definitely. we released an episode commentary for the pilot, and we also did another one of our Friday night spoiler parties. So, you know, if you're bored during the week, you need some more once in your life, you can go back and check out those episodes. They're episodes 15 and 16 of Greetings from Storybrooke. But I guess, do you have anything else
at
the beginning?
Let's do this.
Okay, let's get into the discussion of the brand new episode. Take it away, Anne-Marie.
Anton the Giant runs away. Rumple confronts the TSA. James takes something shiny from the giant, who's whiny, in this week's new episode, Tiny.
That was a beautiful read. So, this week, we get a flashback giving us a little background on Tiny the Giant, played by Jorge Garcia.
Jorge.
And we also get the beginning steps of Mr. Gold's quest to find his son.
Yes.
A lot of fun. I'll go ahead and start with my point here.
Sure.
Okay. After he goes through the TSA, which was a fun sequence.
I kind of felt bad for him, though. I mean, A, nobody likes the TSA. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think the TSA likes the TSA.
I was actually surprised he didn't get, like, pulled aside and patted down when he threatened to impale the guy with the cane.
Yeah, he did threaten to impale someone with a cane.
Mm.
Yeah. That had, like, a metal head on it.
See, I don't know if they would even bother asking him, for, like, in real life, if they would bother asking him for his shawl. Like, it was a matter of, you know, standard practice or something.
Well, yeah, you always have to take off any coats and stuff like that. You have flown much more recently than me.
I didn't have to take off anything like that.
It's because it was July and you were going to Indonesia from Atlanta.
This is
San
true.
Francisco.
This is, no, I was wearing a hoodie one time, I think.
Yeah, but a hoodie is different than a coat.
Yeah.
It wasn't loose.
But anyway he takes off the magic shaw so he can make it through the metal detector. It's off, what, 15, 20 seconds?
If that.
And they put it back on him. And Mr. Gold is, you can tell he's pretty upset. Like, he obviously still remembers who he is. You come to find out, you know, he's pacing at the gate, freaking out, and he goes to the bathroom, punches the towel dispenser, and then tries to heal himself, and his powers are gone. And this really concerns him, even when they get onto the last scene on the plane. Well, the episode ends on a close-up of Mr. Gold's face, and he's just freaking out. Now, I'm wondering, you know, why is he freaking out? And the only thing I could really think of is that he needs power to accomplish his endgame. Because, you know, Rumple's a character that, you know, he has a plan. He has an end goal, an end game. And I think he needed his powers to accomplish that. And I think he realizes that now, even if he does find his son, this entire plan is, you know, down the drain if he doesn't have his powers.
But I don't think that's when he lost his powers.
I think
he lost his powers as soon as he crossed the line.
You think so?
He was freaking out in the TSA line before he already had completely panicked look. Mm-hmm. But he hadn't tested it yet.
Yeah.
And I think that taking off the Shaw just was like the momentous, like it was the action for him.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, especially with and we'll get into it a little bit in our news section with the trailer for next week. There's some more evidence towards that end that just leaving Storybrooke might have taken away his powers, but if nothing else, it seemed, you know, with, you know, the shots and the musical cues and all of that, that they wanted you to think he lost his powers when he went through that metal detector.
Right, they wanted you to think it was then, but I mean, they were also emphasizing just the fact that he was, completely spazzing out.
Yeah.
Going through the TSA line. And
you know, as long as we're talking about that airport,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure, I don't know, and, you know, I was never a huge Lost fan or anything, but I'm pretty sure that was the Oceanic Airlines from Lost, or like I meant to try and read one of the signs when they were doing this panning shot where they showed a sign, and I didn't get to it. I realized just as the sign went off the screen that it didn't. But it looked like I remember a lot of the viral video or the like alternate reality game videos that the Lost people released back during the first season when I did watch, and the stewardesses were dressed up exactly like the stewardesses from those videos and from that the Oceanic website.
Interesting.
There was actually, then we'll get to your point. I just wanted to mention out, cause I know there's a lot of ex Lost fans who are once fans now.
They're probably still Lost fans, but Lost isn't on anymore. So they can't be Lost fans.
Exactly. But, I think there was another little Lost reference in the scene with Ruby Red and Belle, the book that Ruby Belle was called The Mysterious Island, which Lost was all about a mysterious island.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that was nice. The other nice little reference that I picked up.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I'm not a fan. So if I was picking them up, then
they got to be like smacking you in the face.
There were probably like 40 other ones in this episode that I didn't pick up. But.
Okay, so is Grumpy basically part of the Charmings now?
Yeah, he's like a principal character
the dude,
now.
Yeah, he's the dude.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm happy with.
So am I. He's not as grumpy as he wants you to believe these days.
Well, he's back. He's working.
You know, frequently there's beers all around, and you know
they have a full team of seven again.
We'll get to that.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to step on any toes. Yeah, but he's pretty much, you know, since they came back from winter break, he's been featured in every episode.
Yeah. Anything that happens, go get grumpy. Someone get grumpy.
Well, Leroy, they call him.
Leroy. But whatever.
Yeah, like anytime there's something going on, he's on a mission. He's either out Korra hunting or, you know, he's coming to face the giant or whatever, which is great. And I'd assume, we'll get into that in a second, but people who have listened to the podcast know my personal theory for the season finale, which I keep stressing it just because I'm pretty sure I was right, and I called it back before there was really any evidence for it. It was just like a crazy, off-the-top-of-my-head prediction.
Right.
But it really seems like he's going to be the leader of one of the factions in the season finale, if my theory is correct. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
Anyway.
Okay, Jack, first of all.
Jacqueline. Jacqueline.
Yes, Jack the Giant Killer. Trademark.
Don't get us in trouble. Oh, jeez. No,
but Jack ended up being a woman and a love interest of Prince Charming's brother, the original Prince Charming.
The original James.
Yes. Ended up being a woman. And in that first scene where
I was about to say, you mean the first scene where they're making out all over the room?
No, okay, the second scene. The second scene. With what's his name? James and Jack and Anton, Tiny the Giant. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're interacting and stuff, she gives Anton a magic mushroom right. to shrink down and makes a lot of Wonderland references. Like she says she defeated a Jabberwock and, you know, obviously the mushroom stuff. And then she says that a wise woman gave it to her and told her, you know, how it would work. So I'm wondering, who is that wise woman?
I think it's Cora.
You think it's Cora?
She was the Queen of Hearts.
She was, but like I'm just wondering because in the original Alice in Wonderland story, the person who knew how the mushrooms worked was Alice. Or the female person who knew how the mushrooms. I think the caterpillar gave her some advice on you know, eating them or whatever. Yeah. So I'm wondering if we might get an Alice.
They're due for an Alice. Well, no, isn't mm-hmm. wasn't Jefferson's daughter Alice?
In a sense.
Okay.
In a sense, but I don't know if they would make her the Alice because there's no evidence she ever made it to Wonderland.
Right. Okay, but wasn't her name was Alice, right?
Yeah, I think her name was Alice. And that could be just a thing, you know, we'll have to get the flashback to find out.
Right.
But it could be a thing. Maybe that's why the Mad Hatter was so welcoming to the actual Alice, because her name was Alice or she reminded him of his daughter, you know, something like that.
Okay.
But we'd have to see the flashback. That's all conjecture.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because that was obviously a setup for something down the road.
Oh, definitely. There was a lot of Wonderland in the whole episode.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure they're going to... they'll want to bring back the actress who played Jack because she was a really popular character on Smallville. And, you know, since they're trying to hit the same audience, they'll probably want to bring her back. Plus,
I'm sure she'll be in another flashback. You know, everybody comes back in a flashback.
Yeah, plus, you know, it never hurts the old ratings to have a, you know.
A buxom young lady yes. with her boobs hanging out.
Yeah, so they a sexy girl on screen, and they didn't shy away from that at all.
No, not even remotely.
You know, it's not in our list, so but I just want to mention it. That first scene where they're making out and everything, yeah. and they're about to...
Yes, yes.
You know...
the people know what we're talking
take
about.
Take care of business.
Let's just move on.
And then James's father, the king, comes right. in, and it's just like, hey, what's up, Dad? I'm laying on top of this woman. Is that cool?
And he basically says, what the... Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop. Put your clothes back on. Stop it.
It just seems like a very unusual family relationship, I guess.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's weird. Sort of tying in with your whole Wonderland thing, though, another reason I think it's Cora is because of Regina the Errand Girl.
Mm.
Because she gave her Anton another mushroom to make him big.
Yeah.
That obviously came from Cora,
mm-hmm.
because we may not have seen Cora, but we basically heard from her today.
Yeah.
Or Sunday.
See, I was like, I was kind of going back and forth on it, because just the way Regina appears in this episode, always working to further an agenda that will benefit her,
uh-huh.
You know, killing the prince, et cetera, et cetera. But whatchamacallit, and the fact that Cora doesn't show up, I'm wondering if something happened between episodes and Cora's not running the show anymore and Regina's running the show.
No.
Like, I know, like, that's why I didn't list it in our talking points, but it just seemed a little unusual, especially with the mushroom and Tiny, because Cora's the one who made Tiny small to begin, like permanently small to begin with. So why would she send Cora with the mushroom when she could just
Regina.
Go there? Or yeah, Regina. And she could just go there herself, wave her hand, and he's back to being a giant.
To build his trust. Because he doesn't trust Cora, because Cora trapped him and made him small and put him on a ship in a cage.
Yeah.
Basically. He didn't know who Regina was, and Regina approached him going, dude, I don't like this guy either. Here, take this. You can go beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically... Yeah. I think it was all a trust. But Cora was staying hidden, I think, because wasn't it still with the Dr. Hopper thing a bit?
Well, I know...
I mean, I know that's why Regina was hiding.
At the beginning of the episode, they had you know, parties of people out looking for Cora. So, I mean, it would make sense that she would stay hidden. I just thought it was a little unusual to where I don't really think that that's the case, that Regina has taken down Cora and is acting of her own free will. But if they did a twist like that, like in the next episode, and it opens up with Cora held captive or something, I wouldn't be surprised. That's all I'm saying.
I would be completely, actually.
Speaking about Regina talking to Tiny, at the end of the episode, why didn't Tiny, I mean, I know he didn't know Regina's name or anything, but why didn't he just think to mention, yeah, this woman said this mushroom would make me big so I could kill you. This dark-haired woman, and Snow and Charming would have known who he was talking about. Why didn't he tell them about Regina?
We know he didn't tell them over a beer.
You'd think they'd be a little more alarmed or alerted to it, you know.
What? Or
that doesn't seem like a scene or a line you would play off screen.
Yeah, but they...
Because that's...
So there was that, but also, I mean, when they are planting the cutting, they do talk about Cora and everything, and I think that's a sort of... It's almost assumed at this point that anything involving Cora involves Regina and vice versa.
Well, you know, because I mean, you know, Regina shows up at Snow and Charming's apartment at the beginning of the episode.
That's true.
And that's true. They're like, you know, all's forgiven. We still don't like you. You don't have any say over Henry anymore, but right. Go on your way. You know, they weren't trying to stop her, really.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, if they, well, obviously it hadn't happened yet, but at the end of the episode, if they found out that Regina gave Tiny the mushroom, she would be, you know, number two on the priority list right after Cora.
Right.
And also, did they just let Hook go after he showed them the ship?
Yeah, basically.
That was a little weird.
He's injured. I guess they think he's just not really a threat. He's not moving so quickly. It's Hook. He's always a threat.
I wonder, he can probably leave Storybrooke, can he? Since he was never under the curse?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm going to answer yes with that one. So, that's not even a point. I have, like, in the flashback how when all the other giants were killed, good old Anton was trusted with not only destroying all of the beans and the bean land and everything, but he was also given the, like, basically the holy cutting so that he could start a new land. But, you know, I like that it set it up that he would be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Which, you know, should have made him at least a little bit happy because that's what he wanted. He didn't want to be alone, though, because nobody wants to be alone.
Well, let's talk about the land of the giants a little bit, too.
Okay, sure.
What did you think about the giants?
I liked it. I liked the giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, minus, you know, they're mean.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, the head brother I really enjoyed, like, so much so that I kept thinking throughout the episode, man, I wish they had cast this guy to play Tiny. Like, because he was a good actor. He has good presence. He's not whiny. Like
but
Tiny.
That's what the character is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can only do so much if that's your character.
But I mean, when you think Jack and the Beanstalk Giant, I think more like the older brother than Jorge Garcia.
Right. But, you know, they're twisting all of the fairy tales.
Yeah, I'm just sad we won't be able to see him again.
How do you know? There will be another flashback.
He was a very convincing giant. He was also done a lot of character roles on sitcoms and stuff. The one that I guess he's been on Buffy too. I never really watched Buffy either. But he was one of the main characters' friends on a show back in the 90s called Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which is what I knew him from. But he was a lot younger then. He was, you know, like 22, 23.
I was about to say, that was about 20 years ago.
Yeah, just referencing Parker Lewis Can't Lose, it probably dates me.
You're not old. You're not old.
But, okay, so we had some more setups this week.
Lots of setup this week. Lots.
For what I think, and I mean, it's pretty much obvious now what the end conflict for the season is going to be, which is the fairy tale characters who want to stay in Storybrooke and the fairy tale characters who want to go back to fairy tale land. And, you know, it, obviously the bean cutting and then starting to sow the field. I kept wanting to say food there for some reason.
Well, they are
and,
beans. You know,
till the soil. And so they're going to be growing magic beans, which will give them a way back. And then, you know, just character-wise, the conversation that Snow and Charming have in the truck right at the end where Charming really, really wants to go back home and Snow really, really wants to stick around.
Well, no. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Charming does want to go back, of course. Snow wants to be wherever Emma and Henry are.
Mm-hmm.
If Emma and Henry want to go back, and we all know Henry's going to want to go back, then she'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all up to Emma again.
Which I think, you know, I think Emma will probably want to stay. So, you know, the split in the family that I've been thinking was going to happen will probably be Henry and Charming want to go back. Right. And Snow and Emma want to stay.
Right.
And I think Snow will want to stay just because Emma wants to stay.
Right. So. I think she really does want to go back. Like how she was like, oh, I miss our adventures. Be like, well, you know, we can do that again. So.
But yeah, we'll see how it develops further. But it's looking more and more like my crazy prediction might end up coming true.
That, but
also, hold on, wait a second. Let me stretch here and pat myself on the back a little there.
Ugh.
Okay.
Ugh. Stop it. Just stop it. So Anton, the giant, is now a dwarf. Anyone?
I think that what you would refer to as irony? I believe it is.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Because the giant is now a dwarf, an official dwarf. Like his axe put his name Tiny on it. I guess he's not Anton anymore. He's just Tiny.
I do think it's funny that, you know, you have seven dwarves operating in Storybrooke, and six of them were grown up from their small stature, and one of them was grown down from their tall stature. Yeah. That's which true. Is funny too. But, you know, he was a dwarf among giants, and now that he's normal size, he may be a giant among men, but he still has the heart of a dwarf.
He definitely is the heart of a dwarf.
Well, I mean, the axe don't lie.
No.
It never lies.
Work is work. We do what we do. I do also find it a little odd that it takes an entire army of dwarves to plant a cutting that is about a centimeter big.
Well, I was assuming that, you know, when they were going in there with their pickaxes and everything, that you know, they were just getting the field ready to be farmed.
But all they have is one cutting. Mm-hmm. They can't grow more than one plant from one cutting.
Can't they?
No.
I'm pretty sure
they didn't put it in water and, like, separate. Like, they didn't do, like, the pre-stages. They were going straight into the dirt.
See, I'm assuming they're getting the field ready first because you got to, like, because it was just a grassy field. So you have to till that. You have to get all the grass and stuff back under the soil so the it can get the nutrients out of it.
Was this big.
Mm-hmm.
They were cutting, like, digging in the dirt as big as this room.
Yeah, see, easy. It's been such a long time since I've done anything from a cutting that I can't remember exactly how it works. But I mean,
I can understand that they need to, like, you know, turn over the dirt and all that jazz. Yeah. But it's still one little cutting. They weren't taking a series of rose bushes.
But is that going to grow a beanstalk? That's why maybe that's why they're getting that huge area prepared. Because if that little cutting turns into a beanstalk, like, yeah, beanstalk's pretty big. And, you know, the circumference is, you know, at least like a carousel or something, you know. That
I know. It's just, it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
From the way it sounded, like, it takes a long time for the... Yes.
In the original story, it happened overnight.
Right. But the way they were talking about it when they were up in Giantland is it takes a very long time for the beans to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Which also messes with your theory of the end of the season. Because the beans shouldn't be ready yet. Especially because we're already midway through the second half of the season.
Depends on how fastly paced the rest of the season is or if there's any magical aid to be had.
True. Very true.
Oh, you know what else I just happened to think about? Kind of like the parallel, like the thematic thread where Tiny, in his homeland, he was in a group of seven guys who worked and lived.
I thought it was six.
What was it? I can't remember. But
pretty sure it was six.
Well, six plus him.
No.
No?
Two on each side of the table, one on each
end. Well, a big group of guys who have devoted their lives to work, okay. Just like the dwarves. Yeah. So he's found home again, Tiny right. has, which is nice. Okay, so in this episode, we finally get to learn Charming's real name, his real name, and it's David.
Yeah.
Little anticlimactic. After
what was going to make that climactic for you?
I don't know.
What did
but
you want him to be?
I really had no opinion. It wasn't. I knew it was a mystery that was out there. It wasn't one I was particularly interested in. But I thought they would do more than just give him his Storybrook name.
But that also could be a weird little thing.
I also thought it was weird that Snow has never referred to him by his real name until right after he told Leroy what it was. Like,
well, because she's always, you know, Charming, their last name, and it's sort of like a pet name because it's.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of sweet.
No, I just thought it was funny that, you know, throughout the entire series.
She was mad. What do you expect when you make a lady mad? She's going to use a full name. Hold on. I clicked things.
Oh, no. Don't click.
Anyway. So I thought it was, it made sense that Belle responded a little nicer to Ruby and Greg coming to talk to her. Probably because they didn't wake her up with a kiss or by shoving a chipped teacup in her face going, Belle, Belle, Belle.
Well, I think, you know, obviously the kiss really freaked her out and the cup just frustrated her.
Right.
But I think her main aversion to Mr. Gold is just the fact
that he's creepy.
Well, she woke up and saw him using magic, which, you know,
right.
is going to turn into a major plot point, I think.
Yeah, that was my next. It was, you know, it was part B of this. So I don't know, like she had such a positive relationship with Ruby, which I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But then the fact that Greg, the outsider, sits down and is like, no. I don't think you're crazy. I saw it too. Which almost makes them both sound just completely wackadoodle. But
yeah, they are definitely playing out Greg Mandel's storyline very, very slowly. Yeah, we get about a minute of his storyline in every episode.
Like,
and obviously it's going to be a major thing towards the end of the season. Right. But it's just
That's the thing. Like, this was your original theory of how the season was going to end.
Well, whole conflict about going back and forth.
Well, you had that, but you also had, you know, that the you know, the trucks, the news trucks pull up.
Yeah, and I incorporated that into my theory after the episode where the car accident happens. Yeah,
right. Yeah, but you had that part of a theory first at some point. Anyway, irrelevant.
But we'll see how that develops. I guess
should prove interesting. Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. It's fine.
It's a little late for our usual recording.
So, overall, on a scale of 1 to 12 magic beans, what do you give this episode?
I'm sorry, falling asleep. Let's go for, you said 1 to 12?
1 to 12 magic beans.
I'm going for 8 magic beans.
8 magic beans? Why?
It was good. I liked it. I just, lots of backstory.
Yes.
I'd like a little bit more forward. And like while I was sitting taking my notes, I try to, you know, mark the scenes. Mm-hmm. And they just kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth after like 3 lines.
Yeah.
And I find that really frustrating and it's very jarring and jumpy for me.
Yeah.
I would prefer to have a 5-minute scene, then we cut to another 5-minute scene. Now, I know why they did it. It always makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's just very jarring for me.
Yeah, you know that structure you're talking about, I noticed too, and it like
they've done it in a few episodes.
Well, yeah, and it was very strong in this episode, and it really struck me as almost a comic book way to do it, cuz a lot of times in comic books they'll have, you know, the two characters will be having a conversation. You turn the page and you have a caption with the last line from that conversation over the scene, the next scene, and somehow that line ties into the scene that they're going into.
Uh-huh.
And I really felt that, especially in this episode.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, it was a good episode. I would give it, I'd give it 10 out of 12 magic beans.
You're getting
beans.
A 10?
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, yeah, I, you know, still not terribly happy with Jorge Garcia as the Giant.
So much better than the Haterade episode, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think even the graphics and everything up in Giantland were much better this time.
Not as much in Storybrooke, though. No. He didn't look very good in Storybrooke when he was Giant.
Yeah.
But whatchamacallit, you know, even given that, I still thought I really enjoyed his character story in this episode.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought they set some good stuff up and set some things in motion. It was a transition episode, but it was a really well done transition episode. So 10 out of 12 magic beans.
Cool. So wait, so he's basically become a regular now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's living in
We just hadn't heard that he was signed on to be a regular, mm-hmm. which I'm sure, you know, that's not something they wanted to.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be a grumpy level regular.
I'm sure he's not going to be grumpy level.
Like in every episode.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who live in Storybrooke and could potentially show up in every episode, but they don't, you know,
right.
like Dr. Whale or something.
Right. Dr. Whale just hides in his, like, office drinking.
Well, he's Frankenstein. He's supposed to be a little creepy and brooding. And
anyway, we're backtracking. I just thought it was neat because we hadn't heard he was signing on to be, having his guest spots. We had only known a commitment for two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You're Googling it, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
I'm doing something else. Go ahead.
No. That's really all I had.
Okay, so Mr. Gold, he runs this this shop with all these doodads, right?
Doodads
and whatnots. But the shelves are very full, and obviously Storybrooke is pretty self-sufficient since they're not used to strangers going there.
Yeah.
So
anyone hasn't sold much.
Yeah, anyone who lives in Storybrooke has been to Mr. Gold's shop, and they've seen what he has, and they've walked out the door with either an item or without an item, and they're not going to go back because he's not going to get any more new stock. So I think Mr. Gold really needs to expand his business. Now, something that's really hip these days, I don't know if you've heard about it, it's called cyberspace.
Cybermen?
No, cyberspace.
Oh.
Cyberspace.
Is that where the cybermen are?
And there, possibly. And there are these things in cyberspace. Well, it's this thing called the World Wide Web. And I know web, you think sticky, but you can surf it. And you can surf to different websites. And Mr. Gold could set up a website or an e-commerce site for his shop.
My mind is blown.
So people outside of Storybrooke can order items from him without coming in and risking revealing all the magic that exists in Storybrooke.
Uh-huh.
Only problem.
Yeah.
You know Mr. Gold. He's really picky.
He is very particular.
Yeah. So he's not going to want to go with some fly-by-night operation.
That's definitely not.
To set up his,
He'll do his research.
Website.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking about it. And, you know, because me and Mr. Gold meet up for coffee every few weeks. I drive up to Storybrooke.
Good greetings.
Yeah. And, you know, I give him business advice.
Oh, which you're his business advisor?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what we've used for our website and what I've used for my personal company website, great service, GoDaddy.com.
Oh, tell me a little more.
Well, they provide web hosting. Oh. You can get your domain name, so Mr. Gold can get MrGoldShop.org. or probably not .org, because he's not a nonprofit. He's all about the profit.
Anyway.
I mean, he is financing the trip.
He is financing the trip, even for the other one.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to point him to GoDaddy.
Okay.
And luckily, since I'm in so tight with GoDaddy, since we've run our websites through there, right. I have some codes for it.
Codes?
I like codes. Now, I wouldn't tell these codes to just anybody. But, you know, we're all friends here, right? So, you know, and they're cool codes, too. They're fun.
They're fun?
So, I'll just tell them to you. Just tell me if you think they're fun.
All right, tell me.
Okay, there's one that's 10% off anything on GoDaddy.com site.
I love 10% off.
And the promo code that you would put in, you know, or Mr. Gold would put in when he went through checkout is BLU13 or BLU13. That's a funny way to spell blue, isn't it?
It is. That's probably why Jay-Z and Beyonce used it for their baby.
Yeah.
You didn't even know a baby's name was Blue. You had no clue they were even married.
I barely knew who Jay-Z and Beyonce are. Barely.
Inappropriate.
But in 13 is my favorite number, so it's funny. Another one that's really hilarious, and one that I think that Mr. Gold would probably end up using, is for 20% off of any one of three hosting plans that GoDaddy.com has.
Uh-huh.
And the promo code for that is HostPod13.
I like that.
Yeah, HostPod.
That one's funny. HostPod. HostPod.
So anyway, you know, when me and Mr. Gold meet up in a couple days, I'm going to present this to him.
That's a good idea.
But I want to thank GoDaddy for actually sponsoring this episode.
Thank you, GoDaddy.
Of Greetings from Storybrooke. And like I said, if you want to get some good deals, 10% off, promo code BLU13, BLU13 at checkout, or for 20% off hosting, HostPod13 at checkout. Thanks again, GoDaddy. And now, on to the news. News.
Yeah, that.
Okay, so first off, we have the ratings report for this week. And unfortunately, just like last time we had a ratings report, not great news.
But again, they were against the Grammys.
They were against the Grammys.
And the Grammys seem to be very popular this year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like social media exploded during the 3.5 hour long Grammys.
See, I didn't see too much about it, really.
We follow different crowds in the social media world.
This is true. This is
you
true.
You know everything tech. I know everything.
So anyway, ratings, 7.02 million viewers and a 2.2 share. Now, back in the first half of the season, that 2.2 was usually like a 3.3, 3.4, somewhere in there. So
that was a big drop.
Yeah. The lowest ratings of the season for Once Upon a Time, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the last episode they aired, that was the lowest ratings for the season. And this one beat it, which is unfortunate because more so than the first half of the season, I think every episode this half of the season has been great.
Much better.
Yeah.
But they probably lost people on that whole
The break and stuff. It's just the uneven schedule.
It's the break and the break and the break.
People
the
don't
break.
Know where to find the show.
Right.
So get your act together, ABC. Let's get on a weekly schedule till the end of the season, I hope. Fingers crossed.
Right.
But, okay.
Okay. So then we have the trailer for Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Here, I'll put it up here so we can kind of watch it while we're talking about it. So it looks like, and spoilers, by the way.
Yes, they know this by now.
Yeah, but it looks like Cora's looking for the dagger, and it's confirmed that they're heading to Manhattan.
Yes. The episode is called Manhattan, mm-hmm. And when they got on the plane, they said it was going to New York. Come on now.
Yeah, and then they say the biggest bombshell is happening.
I don't feel like it's a bombshell.
Yeah, it's pretty much expected at this point, but Emma runs into a guy on the street who, if you've been following our show and our coverage of pics from the
and
set
pictures and, yeah.
Someone who's in the same costume we saw Neil Cassidy in from the set pictures from Manhattan. So that looks to be the form of the next episode. There's going to be a Rumpel flashback because there were some scenes from that there, and we talked a little bit about that on our spoiler party.
Yes,
too.
Listen to the spoiler party for more stuff about Manhattan, because that was
specifically,
there wasn't
flashbacks.
That much news since Friday. It's been 3 days. Mm. 4 days, something like that.
But yeah, so that'll be a good episode to look forward to. If you want to catch the trailer, if you didn't catch it already, we're going to have the link to a YouTube clip of it in our show notes.
Yes.
And, you know, like we said, we did the Friday night spoiler party this week, so we really you know, we packed all the news we could find into that, and that was like 3 days ago or 4 days ago. So we don't have a ton of stuff, but I thought this was kind of fun for all you shippers out there. After Ellen.com.
I'm not going to lie, I had no idea what a shipper meant, and this totally should be up my alley. And it's...
Shippers. Made from enchanted wood.
Wow. The relationshippers.
Yes, the relationshippers, people who try and, you know, they write fanfic or they do novelty Twitter accounts, you know, kind of pairing up different couples, characters who aren't necessarily romantically linked on the show.
Right.
And this one, it's just a fun article. It's on afterellen.com. We'll have the link in the show notes. But these are all pairings that I haven't heard before, just, you know, checking out the Twitters and whatnot and keeping up with the fan community for once. There's Sleeping Warrior, which is Sleeping Beauty and Mulan.
I still want to go back there. I want to see how their
quest they're progressing.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Red Snow, which obviously Red and Snow.
Or Snow Wolf.
See, I don't think they'd really be in a relationship. They're just besties.
They're besties.
Yeah. And then we have Red Beauty, which I don't know how Mr. Gold would feel about that, although
right now Red has a better relationship with her than Gold.
Yeah. So I mean, if any of these were likely, I would say her. And then there's obviously the last one, Swan Queens. Yeah, the last one is Emma and Regina, which we all know about. But yeah, they on afterellen.com here, you know, they give a rating to each one of these potential matches, the major obstacle keeping it from happening.
As you'll notice, they're all girl on girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But every one of them. Come on, somebody couldn't have thrown me a hook in here?
Hook and Charming.
Oh!
Hook and Grumpy.
No!
Well, no, Hook and Smee. They're pirates. They're on a ship
for... Smee is now a rat.
This is true. This is true. And you know they would never allow interspecies dating on this show. Except
never.
Never. Gus Gus. That was our Gus Gus reference for the episode. But yeah, check it out, afterellen.com. It's all going to be in the show notes, etc. So now, we didn't have a lot of listener feedback this week, but we'll go ahead and...
We had some, though.
We did. Do you want to go ahead and read the first one there?
All right. The first one actually just came in about an hour before we sat down to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Stacy, and I believe it was posted on our website, greetingsfromstorybrook.com.
Yeah, and I think she actually had a letter on our Friday Night Spoiler Party, too, if it's the same Stacy. Yeah.
Hi guys, episode 16 is titled The Miller's Daughter. It's happening. Big smiley face. I'm also waiting for Ariel 2. Into the Deep was so misleading. Love the podcast. It keeps me entertained at work.
Well, thank you, Stacy. Yes. And the it's happening she's referring to is the fact that we've been theorizing that Cora's backstory is being the girl from the original Rumpelstiltskin story,
right,
who was a Miller's daughter.
Right.
So it looks... So
that is, let's see, 16. Where are we actually? What was the real episode number?
The real episode number, I can find out real quick. Vamp for a second.
This was 14. No, this was 13.
This was
13.
Episode 13, yeah. So three more episodes. In 3 weeks, we'll be getting the Miller's daughter.
Hopefully it'll be 3 weeks and not a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
And we also got a couple tweets from one of our favorite and most...
Our good old buddy Wynn. We haven't heard much from you lately, lady.
Yeah, you need to give us a voicemail or a letter. But
she's just going to type us like Q.
Talk
or
a
something.
Little longer. But Wynn tweeted us, why do they need a squad of dwarves to help Tiny plant one bean sprout, which... You know, we discussed.
Right.
And some kind of Storybrooke land union rule. And the giants couldn't just kick Jack and jerk down the beanstalk hole. Wanted more hospital, more freaked out Rumple.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
I think maybe that's why I only opted for the 8 beans out of 12 this week.
Because,
I mean, that's exactly it. It's just you want more going forward.
Yeah, but that's how they get you. They just, they take
but
something.
But that's also how they're losing people.
Yeah. But they take like an intriguing situation like Greg in the hospital, and they just they give you a little drip, a little drab, a little drip, a little drab until you've almost forgotten about it. And then they come in with a whole episode about it.
I'm going to need a whole episode in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Two or three weeks, I think, is the most they can stretch before it's like, come on already. He called someone and told them.
Like, that's the thing.
Shouldn't they have come for him by now?
Well, it's really only been like 2 days, which I don't know how the man with internal bleeding is up and walking around.
Magic. Magic. Science.
Magic, 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 magic.
Yeah, and I really liked Jack and Jerk, too. That was a fun win.
Jerk and Jerk. I could make a bad, bad joke here, but I'm going to resist.
But, you know, if you enjoyed listening to our listeners' feedback, we can read your feedback, too.
Hook us up.
Yeah, why
don't send us a voicemail.
Give them the info. I also we do like it when people go to iTunes and rate the podcast and leave a review. We actually got one this week. I'm gonna Yeah, I'm gonna look it up real quick. If you want to tell them the contact info.
Hi, you can email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @GFStorybrooke. You can also find me at AMDSimone, and you can find Bill at Bill Meeks. We're also on Google Plus and Facebook. And
all that info's at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com.
And
our voicemail number.
I was getting there.
Go ahead. You can give the voicemail number. That's fine. Go ahead.
You little.
I'll give the area.
You
code.
Little 424. Smee. 424-274-2352. Come on, give us another voicemail. It's been a while.
Yeah, and you can also, that email address, if you would rather record an MP3 on your phone and send it along or something, that's fine too. We'll play it. But and like I said, if you go to iTunes and look us up and leave a review, we'll read it on the show. I'm going to read one from, let's see here, it's Raja10. And it was a 5-star review.
I like it.
Subject line is funny! !! Thanks.
Yay!
I found you guys from the Once Podcast Roundtable. I love you guys and how you play off each other. Thanks so much for the awesome podcast. Thank you for listening.
Thank you,
Raja10.
Yeah, Raja10.
Yeah, and
speaking of the roundtable,
we've got
another one coming up, and I'm actually going to be on it.
Yeah, I don't know if we should discuss the date publicly since Daniel hasn't said anything.
I'm just saying there's a roundtable.
Yeah, and obviously we have to get other people to confirm because there's going to be 8 podcasts represented or something.
We're the minions on that one, and I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, definitely. We just show up and
smile.
Show up and gab.
That's what we're good at, obviously.
That was a really fun episode. I'm really looking forward to doing another roundtable podcast with Daniel. Speaking of, and we plugged this on the spoiler party, but I'll go ahead and mention it again. If you want to go over to the Once Podcast homepage, they actually got a chance to talk with Dr. Hopper and Dr. Whale.
Apparently they're very medically inclined mm-hmm. over at Once Podcast.
But not the characters themselves, but the actors who play them.
Same difference.
But yeah, two special episodes they released over the hiatus, and they're very good. I still haven't listened to Dr. Hopper yet, but I did listen to David Anderers, yeah. Who plays Dr. Whale Frankenstein. And it was a very fun interview. So, you know, check that out over at Once Podcast if you haven't already. So is there anything else?
I think that's all I got. Is that all you got?
What about you, listeners? Do you have anything?
Okay,
I guess they have nothing. So that about wraps it up for this episode. We're going to be back next week to cover the next week's episode, Manhattan, which I'm really hopeful for. I hope it doesn't end up being like the last episode they named after a city, Tallahassee.
Tallahassee!
The Haterade. Yeah, that would not be good. But we'll see. It looks very promising. Until next week.
Greetings from Storybrooke.